Good to see you all. We're continuing on looking at the Holy Spirit, tallying to just the subject last week, and I'm carrying on. I suppose if you were to put a title on my talk, it's a brief description of what does the Holy Spirit do? What is his role? And as I was sitting preparing, I use a lot of abbreviations and stuff when I'm writing notes and stuff in my preparation and in my notes. And I always write HS for the Holy Spirit. It just saves space. No other reason. But when I was thinking about it, and I wrote down my page, HS, right in the middle, put a big circle around it because I was looking at the Holy Spirit and thinking about it. And I just had a conversation the day before with my brother, and he was talking all about his wife's job, and it was all to do with the HR department, which is the human resource department. And all of a sudden I made this wee connection between the Holy Spirit and the human resource department of some big business or the civil service. And what the human resource department does, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm no expert in these sorts of things, but they're in charge of recruitment, and they're in charge of training, and they're in charge of employment generally. And I thought, well, actually, that's quite a good description. If you want a starting point for what the role of the Holy Spirit is, well, he's the one who does the recruiting into the kingdom of God. He's the one who does the training in the kingdom of God, and he's the one who provides employment in the kingdom of God. So if you're ever stuck for an idea of what the Holy Spirit does, just think of he's a human resource department of the kingdom of heaven. That's just very vague, but it's a starting point for us. It's a good starting point for us. Tell you another good starting point. I just want to read one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3. And it says this: "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And that wee phrase encapsulates so much of the importance of the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And you may get facetious and say, oh no, well, anyone can say Jesus is Lord. People swear all the time saying, oh, Jesus and all this here. Well, yes, physically anyone can say Jesus is Lord. But what Paul's getting at here is to truly call him Lord. To truly know who Jesus is. No one can get to that point but by the Holy Spirit. We are naive if we think that by our own great wisdom and understanding we worked out that it was good for us to turn to God. That's just naivety. It's God alone who comes along by his Spirit, by the Spirit of God, who comes to us and who draws us from the way we were walking, draws us to him, and then leads us in to repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we'll look at that a wee bit more. But that verse is such a good basis. It's like that verse that when Jesus says, "Without me you can do nothing." Well, pretty much, I think Jesus was talking about the Spirit as well when he said that. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We wouldn't even be thinking about God if it wasn't for God's Spirit. We certainly wouldn't be here worshipping God if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. It is by God's Spirit alone that we are here. Nothing can happen without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, and this is very much speaking from my experience and the experience of listening to other people, especially other people who are sharing how they came to know Jesus, he works by drawing us to God, and he does that in a completely different way for everybody. He draws us to God. I'm quoting from a film where something is described as a splinter in the brain. And a splinter in the brain, it's like that every now and again. It's a wee twitch, a wee, ow, that was sore. And the Holy Spirit is almost like that in our lives before we come to know God. Every now and again, we get that wee twitch thinking there's something not quite right about life. There's something missing in life. I almost say I'm like the one, as we walk in our path away from God, in our I'm just making the best of life like everyone else. He's the one that's continually tapping us on the shoulder, saying, have you ever thought about God? Leading people into our way. He's like walking behind us, trying to organize things, or more walking in front of us, trying to put things in our place so that we'll be directed by God. He's whispering in our ear, have you thought about God? What about Jesus? Look, there's a church. Why don't you go in there? You know such and such as a Christian. And this is just from experience, listening to people's testimonies. You can see the hand of God. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit moving in people's life, trying to draw them to God. And then when he draws us to God, when he draws us to the Father, then everything else after that is his work too. That's just the beginning of his work as he brings us to God. Everything after that is his work too. So he recruits us for the kingdom of God. And then he trains us in the kingdom of God. And he employs us. He works through us. He gets God's job done on earth through us. And it is all the work of the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit. Now I want to read two main passages this morning from John's Gospel. Now one of them Taddy read last week, but I'm going to refer back to it. And it'll also maybe help jog your memory as to some of the things Taddy said last week. And then I'm going to read another passage in John as well. So sorry, John chapter 14 will be the first passage. And I'm going to start verse 15. Let's read. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, of course, just sort of to remind you is the setting of this. This is the Last Supper. This is just before Jesus is crucified. So he's now bringing the disciples round to the view that he is leaving and what's going to happen next. He's preparing them. So if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So Taddy read at least part of that passage last week. As Jesus promises the disciples that he's going to send them another advocate, another helper. So he's going to leave, but he's not going to leave them on their own. He's going to send God the Spirit to be with them. And then I want to read just over in the end of chapter 15 through into chapter 16. So chapter 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, that's the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to set this stand up. I brought my wee Bible with me. I can't see the print away down there. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the hour is coming when those who kill you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when that hour comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me where you are going. Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. To be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Two passages, quite wordy passages, but very much worthy of you going home and spending some time meditating upon them, because you will be able to. I'm only going to speak very briefly on them this morning, but they are packed. That whole discourse of Jesus's, right from the washing of the disciples' feet till he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Wonderful, wonderful passage. I'm going to refer to both those passages, back to the one Tally read in chapter 14 and the one there at the end of 15 into 16. I'm going to start back in chapter 14, and I'm just going to pick out a couple of wee verses. I'm going to read verse 20 again. On that day, that's the day that the Spirit comes, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What Jesus was promising to the disciples, what he was explaining to the disciples, was when the Spirit of God comes, you will understand all about me. And this isn't that the Holy Spirit was going to come with a sheet of paper and show them, explaining with a wee diagram, you know, here is you, here is the Father, here's Jesus, and all that sort of thing. No. The disciples were going to realize. And to realize is to become fully aware of it. To become fully aware of this truth. To conceive it as reality. To experience it as reality. So when you come to this passage, which is, let me read it again. On that day you will realize that, this is Jesus speaking, that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. So that what it is that Jesus is saying he is in the Father, but the disciples are in Jesus, who's in the Father, and Jesus is in the disciples, who's also in the Father. But it isn't just a wee triangle diagram. It's that the disciples would experience that they would become fully aware of this as a reality, simply because the Holy Spirit was now in them. Without the Holy Spirit, yes, they could maybe try to understand the theology of it. They could maybe read the textbook about it. They could maybe be able to present a 3-point sermon about it. But with the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, they could become fully aware of the reality of it. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that is going to be part of the basis of my message this morning, becoming fully aware of the reality that me standing here, I am in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father, so I'm in the Father. And that Jesus is with me. And the Father is with me because Jesus is in the Father. And I am part of that relationship. becoming fully aware of it. This is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Once he has brought us to repentance, and we'll speak about that again later, one of the roles then is that God dwells with us by his Spirit. Say more about that. Well, it, also in this passage we see in verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And here we have that as a result of the Holy Spirit coming, he is going to be within us. And then verse 18 says that I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And then down in verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. God the Father and God the Son are seated in glory. However, because the Holy Spirit comes to us, we can see them. Well, we can't see the Father, but we can see the Son. The Son can show himself to us. And it is that work of God's Spirit. You see, without that, we would be like when you were a kid and you were sitting down by your bed praying and you imagined God to be 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 miles away. And you almost had to shout at him to get him to hear you. You didn't really have an understanding of what he was like. You maybe had some weird mixed up idea that he was a bit like your headmaster in school that you had to be very, very scared of. Or maybe like your father who used to come and beat the living daylights out of you. I don't know. But by the Spirit of God, the Spirit comes to you and reveals God to you. We can see Jesus. In fact, I think it's summed up beautifully in verse 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And, is that radio too? Don't worry at all. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. This is just truly amazing. This is God the Father and God the Son coming to make their home with you. Coming to make their home with me. And that is the reality that the Holy Spirit brings to light for us. That's the awareness that he makes us aware of. That is the reality that he makes us aware of. That God Almighty has come to us and made his home with us. So, to sum up that very quickly, the Holy Spirit makes us fully aware that God and the Father and the Son is with us here, right now, with me today. But also that I am in him, that I am with him seated in Christ, seated with Christ at the right hand of God. And it is the Holy Spirit himself that makes us aware of those two realities. And as we grow as Christians, it's that awareness will grow and will grow and will grow. Well, listen, we're going to move on to the next passage, and we're going to get back to the recruitment idea. I want to read from chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. Talking about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And I just wanted to reiterate this point, because sometimes we don't understand, and we maybe give ourselves a wee bit of glory. And when we're looking at other people, we're thinking that, well, maybe if I can persuade them about Jesus, well, they'll follow me and they'll turn to God. But only the Holy Spirit can lead us to that point of turning to God. You see, before you know God, you're following You don't realize it, but you're following Satan. He's the one that is leading you. He's the one who has deceived you. The charlatan who comes and tells you everything about life that you think you need to know. And you follow him unknowingly. And you're following him in the way of sin. But you also think you're doing good enough. You're doing a good enough job of life. You have a certain self-righteousness that you're not as bad as somebody else. But you're walking in sin. But what you don't realize, you think you're walking towards happiness and this is the best way to do life. But you see, then the Holy Spirit comes. And eventually he manages to show you that the one who you're following is destined for the pit. He has been judged already. He is condemned already. He is going to hell. He is going to the lake of fire. And that you are following him there. The Holy Spirit then makes you aware of your sin and the fact that because you're ever walked this path, that you're condemned too. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're separated from God. And you're walking the path following Satan to destruction. And he shows you that, the Holy Spirit shows you that there's nothing you can do about it. You're separate from God. Your self-righteousness is nothing before God. But then he introduces you to the Son. He shows you the Son. He shows you Jesus. And that in him, by believing in him, that your sins are dealt with, your sins are forgiven. You're saved from the judgment and the condemnation of hell because of the life of Jesus. And that is all the work of the Spirit. And he does it in my life differently than he did it in your life. But it's him that leads us to that point of redemption. All the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to go down to verses 14 and 15. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is a wee bit like that other passage we read. This is Jesus saying, right, everything is the Father's. But what he has done is he has given everything to me. And what I have done is I have told the Spirit to go and share that with you. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to us, he is sharing the treasures of heaven with us. And that is when you read about him guiding us, when you read about him leading us, when you read about him teaching us, when you read about him helping us and being our advocate, that is what he's doing. He is sharing the riches of the glory of God with you. He is coming to lead you and to guide you. He's coming to remind you. He's coming to testify about who God is and who Jesus is. One of the things, though, that we need to learn as Christians is how to discern the Spirit. Because we, you know, there's a verse, wake up, wake, awake, O sleeper. And you see, really, we have had no experience of the spiritual life, or most of us haven't. I know there's some people here who before they were Christians dabbled in other types of spirituality, and that does awaken the spiritual senses and makes us more attuned when then the Spirit of God comes to us. It enables us easier to hear him and to communicate with him. But we need our spiritual senses, just as we need our physical senses to get about this life. We need to hear. We need to see. Because we've seen that the Spirit is going to teach us. We've seen that Jesus is going to show himself to us. So we need our spiritual senses to discern God. But it says that he's going to lead us into all truth. And while part of what that means is that he's going to explain things to us, I think a large part of that means that he's going to lead us to walk in the truth. And not so much that we know the facts, but we walk out the facts. And this is very much his role as he sanctifies us. And sanctification is simply the process in our lives. While when we became Christians, we were justified, which means that we were now seen as holy and blameless in the sight of God. Well, you and me both know that our lives aren't holy and blameless. Well, it's the Holy Spirit's job to continually be making us more holy and blameless in this life that then will tie up to how we are seen in heaven. Sanctification. But that is what he does by leading us into truth. It isn't increasing our knowledge, but it's increasing our spirituality. It's increasing our holiness. It's increasing our blamelessness. It's increasing our sinlessness. It's getting us to walk in the paths of truth. It's getting us walking the path to victory that Jesus walked. And to walk that path, we need our minds renewed. We need our minds renewed before that we realize that the Beatitudes are actually true. Because the Beatitudes in our human minds seem absolutely as daft as anything. We need to be mad to believe that. Well, what the Holy Spirit does is he renews our minds. He helps make us a bit more mad. He helps us to see things less like we were brought up to see things and more like God sees things. And as we start to see things more that way and he renews our minds, well, then we start walking in the truth. And when the Holy Spirit leads us into all the truth, it isn't about increasing our knowledge of the truth. It's about us walking in the truth, experiencing the truth in our life, experiencing the fact that actually what Jesus said in the Beatitudes is true. That we are more blessed when we're meek. We are more blessed when we're poor in spirit. We are more blessed, and you need to go to them all because I'm not going to attempt to quote them this morning. That is the Holy Spirit leading us into truth. And we're going to see much more about this in the weeks ahead. So it's not just info, but he's purifying us, he's renewing our minds, he's changing our hearts' desires. We no longer just want to serve ourselves, though we're starting to battle in there that we want to serve God, and that battle increases, and as the Spirit works, soon we want to serve God more than we want to serve ourselves, and that is the Holy Spirit's job of sanctification. But in concluding, and we're going to be speaking more in the Spirit in the weeks ahead, I think for me one of the most important parts is in the role of the Holy Spirit is what I said earlier. It's as he helps us to realize. It's as he helps us to become fully aware that we are in God and God is in us. Because we still always fall back into that thought that God is up there. He is exalted. He is high above every name. That's correct. But by his Spirit, he is now down here. The Father and the Son have come and they've made their home with us. And similarly, by the Spirit, God has taken us and seated us in the heavenlies. And this is what the Holy Spirit's role is, to make us aware of this. To make these words of truth for us to be able to conceive them as reality. And that's what the faith is all about. He is strengthening our faith so that these things that are spoken of become as real to us as the floor I'm standing on and as the seat we're sitting on. And that takes work by the Spirit. This does not come naturally. As I said, you say this to me 20 years ago, I'd have said, you're daft as a brush. There's no way that stuff's real. But you see, the Spirit has his work, has been working. In fact, it's probably more than 20 years ago now when he led me to repentance. And then ever since then, has been leading me in truth, sanctifying me. And I know he's a long way to go. What a wonderful work he does. And he does it from that picture of homeliness, from that place of acceptance, from that place of dwelling with each other. And as he makes me more and more aware of that, it changes my relationship to God. As I discover how much more God accepts me and how much more God loves me, I then reciprocate that. More and more he is transforming me from one degree of glory to another. So, from a position without the Spirit, where we would be just like a wee piece of debris out floating on the ocean, just no idea, no notion. Cold, alone, no hope, doomed. By the power of God's Spirit, he brings us to God, where we turn around, we repent and turn to God, and by the power of his Spirit, all of a sudden, now God is dwelling with us here in our lives, and we are dwelling with him in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you and we praise you that you have not left us here as orphans, Lord, but that you love us and that you care about us, and the Lord, that you have sent your Spirit to convict us of sin and judgment, Lord, to lead us to repentance, and Lord, then that by your Spirit you help us to become fully aware of the reality that you are with us all day, every day, that you, Jesus the Son, God the Father, that you have made your home with us, and that, Lord, by your Spirit, you've made us more and more aware that we are seated in heavenly places. Father, there's no words of mine can help this become reality for us. There's no books that we can read that'll help this sink in for us. But rather, Lord, as we spend time in the power and the light of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.